Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Word of Mouth with Lady Sue.
You're listening to Word of Mouth with Lady Sue on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can also download and listen to the show through iTunes or Stitcher. And I'm your host, Lady Sue. When not on the air, my day job is to eat and drink and connect people. So that means I'm out and abouting, having the very conversations that you hear here, and working with my clients, which include chefs, sommeliers, big brand startups, all those doing what's most innovative and delicious. On today's Word of Mouth, we're going to do something a little bit different. Farewell to summer. And in the last couple months, I found myself in Aspen, LA, SF, Chicago, and Copenhagen. And on today's show, we're going to jump back into summer 2014 for our Mad Symposium Retrospective. And I'm going to bring back to you, our fantastic Word of Mouth listeners, unedited conversations I had with top food, hashtag people we like, I ran into from all over the world while in Copenhagen. This year, the two-day gathering of the world's best food folks, put on by Rene Redzepi and the NOMA team, was themed, What is Cooking? And speakers ranged from farmers, journalists, a judge, a philosopher, and chefs like this year's mad curator Alex Atala from Brazil, and the likes of David Chang, Chris Cosentino, Roy Choi, Jeremiah Tower, and Pierre Kaufman, who, by the way, if you didn't know, because I didn't know, he was the boss of the likes of Gordon Ramsay and Marco Pierre White. So, first stop, around 4 p.m. local time, the day before the symposium starts, I go pick up Miguel Andrade, editor at major Portugal paper Público. Público. Portuguese, not my best language. And he's just, no big deal, finishing up staff meal at NOMA. And we learned a few things we've got in common as we stand together in defense of the underrated cuisines of the world. I'm sitting in Copenhagen, Denmark, right outside of Restaurant Manfred's with Miguel Andrade. He's the cultural and food editor of Público.
Público.
Portuguese. Like public, yeah. Portuguese is a new language for me. In Portugal, one of the major newspapers. And we're both here for the fourth MAD symposium.
Yep.
Hey, Miguel.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
So, tell me a little bit about what you've been eating here in Copenhagen.
Yeah, I've already had dinner at Brele. I had lunch at Manfred's. I had some beers. Now I'm going to eat at Amas. So it's been really, I've been trying some Nordic cuisine and it's been great.
Standout dish for you?
Manfred's tartare, beef tartare. It's really good.
Which I'm about to go try.
Yeah.
We just went for a long walk around the city, like a really long walk, like
yes,
an hour. Yeah. And we got to talking about Portuguese food.
Yes.
Which is quite the underdog.
Yes.
And I feel your pain because I'm Taiwanese.
Yeah. And it's true because Portugal is like in the shadow of Spanish food and Spanish cuisine. So people need to understand our food and our culture.
Right, because there's no stereotypical, like, you know, pasta from Italy
or lasagna.
Yeah.
We don't have that because the food is so different from each region that we don't have like
a stereotype.
A national dish.
That people can hold on to and love.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is Portuguese food like?
Portuguese food is...
You have the some of the same ingredients as in Spain?
Yes, we have like ham and chorizo and pork or even seafood
mm-hmm.
that you get along the north coast of Spain. We also get in our coast. But it's different because we have some dishes like bacalhau,
mm-hmm.
or like codfish, yeah.
Right.
Or pork with clams, to name a few.
And I understand it's more family style, which is very much my style.
More family style, yeah.
Less tapas, pinchos-ish.
No. It's really family style, where you go to a restaurant to eat like traditional food,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like you're eating like comfort food. And you have a lot of great things there. And even if you go to the coast and you eat like grilled fish, like you only put the fish on top of the grill,
mm-hmm.
and you cook it like with salt. It's just simple food, delicious.
Delicious.
Yep.
So if I were, let's say, I'm heading to Portugal after Denmark, which I'm not, which I wish I were now. What are the quick three restaurants I need to go to and why?
So to name three restaurants, I would go to Ramiro, Ramiro.
Doesn't sound like how it's spelled at all.
I know.
Thank you.
We have a nice accent. But it's a seafood place in Lisbon. It's really good. You have like crabs and lobsters and shrimp, goose barnacles, only... cooked like in a simple way, only like just cooked, boiled 2-3 minutes, and it's perfect.
Mm.
And then you have a special dessert there, but I can tell it's a surprise. So
it's a surprise, like you're not even allowed to report on it.
No, I'm not.
What the?
You have to go there.
Okay, number two.
Number two, like I would go to Stop Dubai, which is like a neighborhood style restaurant with like simple dishes like, you know, pork with clams,
mm-hmm.
or codfish with we call the bacalhau à brás. It's with potatoes and egg,
mm-hmm.
so and the coriander, so
delicious.
Yes.
And so that's your traditional place. Okay. And then number three?
Number three, I would go to, like, a fancy place.
All right.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, let's go to a fancy place. Which one?
Like a Michelin star, like this young gun in the Portuguese cuisine. It's called the Feitoria. Like, it's along the river in Lisbon, so it has a really nice view. And is using, like, Portuguese products, but in a modern way. So...
How do you spell?
Feitoria, it's Feitoria.
And so for the fact that we are lucky and we're eating all of this at all these Michelin starred places all around the world.
Yes.
And what makes this
special?
Special.
Because there you can get like really Portuguese food. With a twist, but you feel like all the products are there.
It doesn't lose the soul of
no.
of Portugal.
Yeah.
But it's fancy, it's fine dining,
yeah.
it's luxurious.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you so much, Miguel.
No problem.
So, yeah. I'm no good with foreign words that sound like I'm sneezing. Later, I learned from Miguel the story behind the very beloved Taiwanese egg custard tarts called Danta. Now that I can say, that my mom gave me to eat in suburban Los Angeles when I was teeny tiny. And Danta were brought over by Portuguese colonists to Hong Kong and Macau. Of course, the Taiwanese do it the best.
So we first bonded not only on Twitter, but also over those delicious egg tarts, egg custard tarts that we have in Taiwan because of the Portuguese influence. And something I love as a little Taiwanese kid growing up in California. And you love it too as a Portuguese kid at heart.
Yes.
Tell me the story of that.
So, did you know that these pastries and these, we call them convent sweets. So, because they come
from convent sweets.
Convent, yeah, because they come from the nuns. And did you know that these were invented by the nuns because they used egg whites to clean or to pour down their habits. And then there was
to fasten them.
To fasten them.
It's actually that sticky?
Yeah, it is.
That's okay. I'll try that next time a button breaks.
Yes. and then they had leftovers of egg yolks.
Yum.
So, and then with all these discoveries from Brazil, we had a lot of sugar and almonds.
Mm-hmm.
So they mixed them together, like egg yolks, sugar, and almonds. And now we have a lot of different convents that have a lot of sweets.
Specialized, the egg tarts.
In different regions.
Ah, I can't wait to get there and get the original.
Yeah.
Original colonial treat.
Yes.
Not really. I think the Taiwanese versions are better. Sorry, Miguel. As always, I ran into New York City friends like Mark Rosati, who is all smiles and head chef of Shake Shack.
What is your name and role?
Mark Rosati. I'm the culinary director of Shake Shack.
Why did you come here?
I came here because as Shake Shack keeps growing, we become more and more international, and a lot of the chefs that are coming into this event, I know them from all different parts of the globe, and I thought it'd be so cool to come here and very surreal at the same time to sit down with all of them and kind of catch up while learning something new about the whole Nordic culture and cuisine and food movement.
Okay. What's been your biggest discovery thus far, either in Copenhagen or here at MAD?
I would probably say fermentation and how important that is to all the restaurants I've been to, the cuisine of taking something like a carrot, fermenting it, and almost bringing out more of like an umami flavor. And it's something that's just so simple, but the results are amazing. I'm like running in my mind thinking how I can apply this to Shake Shack, like maybe fermented cucumbers or something, and this will be the new pickle for us.
And then, now to be totally apropos, what is cooking to you?
Cooking to me is expressing myself in a way where it satisfies me, while at the same time, like, literally satisfies my friends. I love the whole community aspect of just preparing lots of food, having friends come over, sing down, open wine, just having a good time. And I think those real fun moments where people really connect, they happen over food. And for me to be able to actually produce something that people find enjoyable, it keeps them coming back. So I'm not a lonely person. If not, I probably have no friends in life.
One recommendation for us when we come to Copenhagen.
I would say out of all the amazing restaurants I've been to, that's all I've been doing since I've been here, is I would have to say Moss has just been a showstopper from start to finish. Not only the decor of the room, which is very simplistic, but yet very cozy, which is hard to achieve, but also like the hospitality of the servers, the quality of the food. Like, I felt like I was eating with my friends I had never met before, and it was probably one of the first times I actually could shut down my restaurant mind and just be Joe Nobody Diner and enjoying every bit of it on just like the most basic pleasurable levels.
Thank you so much.
And here's Jim Meehan of New York City cocktail bar PDT on his impressions of Copenhagen and MAD 4.
What is your name and role?
My name is Jim Meehan, and I am a partner in PDT, and my role is to grow cocktail culture internationally.
What brings you here to MAD and Copenhagen?
Friends and the opportunity to learn from some of the world's best chefs and some of the most inspiring people I've ever been around.
Most surprising or delightful discovery on this trip, both Copenhagen-wise or at MAD?
I wouldn't say I discovered anything because I feel like it was a very collective event, so we all sort of experienced something together. I think that was what was great about the design of this event. But I think, hard to say. So many things
to learning
learn.
Or learning or something.
Thinking of what Albert just said, I mean, this event was all about sort of confessing and embracing your fears.
Wow, okay. And fear makes you courageous.
Fear, if you're not afraid, you're not pushing yourself. And I feel like this is a group of people that are all pushing boundaries of different types.
We're constantly freaking out all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
All right. And recommendations, I'm sure you've been out and abouting in town, maybe three?
I unfortunately have been only focused here at MAD, so I'm thinking of escaping tonight. But my friend... Rasmus's places, Ruby and Lidkob, our favorites. Been to Manfred's in Evertime. Obviously, Noma, if you can get in. Looking forward to trying maybe Pony tonight, Salon 39, and Mickler.
Wow, thank you.
Yep.
And last question. What is cooking to you?
What is cooking for me? Cooking is a transformative process.
Thank you, Jim.
Absolutely.
Who would I vote best dressed at the MAD Symposium? Well, it's got to be Farmer Lee Jones, always in his classic overalls, crisp white short-sleeved shirt, and bright red bow tie from the Chef's Garden. In the 1980s, when this Ohio family-run farm ran into tough times, they found that they were able to stay in business by focusing on the very particular needs of fine dining chefs.
Farmer Lee Jones from the Chef's Garden. I am a grower for the greatest chefs in the world.
Absolutely. I heard you're the first guy ever to make vegetables exactly to the size and specifications of our favorite fine dining chefs.
Well, you know, the chefs have been amazing mentors over the years, and we've been very, very fortunate. And what they've taught us is that at every single stage of a plant's life, it offers something unique to the plate.
Oh.
So it really gives us an opportunity and a perspective as a farmer to be able to look at a plant in an entirely different way. And it's that collaboration between chef and farmer working together. If the farmer's four and the chef is four, when you multiply them together, it's times 10.
Amazing.
It is.
So what brings you here?
You know, the opportunity to be able to learn and to be inspired by what's happening and to network, obviously.
How many MADs have you been to?
This is my first.
Mine too.
Is it really?
Yes.
I'm disappointed in myself that I haven't been here before.
Me too. I'm going to see you at the MAD next year.
You can count on it. It's a date.
Absolutely. And what has been your biggest discovery in Copenhagen and at MAD this trip?
Well, you know, I love the country, the people. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. I don't know that it's necessarily a discovery as much as affirmation that there's such a synergy between the ingredients and the plate and the closer relationship we can have with the chefs, the better that it is for everybody. Everybody wins.
Favorite thing you did or ate thus far?
Well, I was over at Matt's at Amas, and of course he was a chef that we worked with at Per Se. And I was blown away by this fish and tomato dish that was absolutely amazing.
I love that one too.
Yes, it just seduced me.
And what's hilarious is that, of course, you have a existing relationship with him when he bought from you at Per Se. Then you were like,
you
"Hey,
know?
Matt, what are you doing here? Oh, it's your place. Oh, that's okay. I'm the same way."
Yeah, you know.
did he laugh?
It's just he did. You know. I was I had a great relationship with Matt at Per Se, and I lost track of him. And I come over to Copenhagen, and there he is in this kitchen at Hamas, and I'm like, you know, are you doing a stage here or what? And he laughed at me. He's like, dude, I own this place. And I was apologizing because I was embarrassed that I didn't realize that. So he was laughing at it, and we had a good laugh together over it. So it's such a huge, huge thing that he's done there. It's beautiful.
What has been your favorite speaker so far?
Gosh, that
maybe
that's,
one speaker, one thought,
you know,
one laugh,
a
one
pinch
delight.
Of salt is the difference between good food and bad. That was amazing. That's, you know, that was a quote from one of the guys. I can't remember which one.
I love that.
Yeah.
Geez, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And will you tell us about that fantastic little getaway for chefs and other great food people that you do on your farm?
Yeah, you know, we're so blown away by what's happening here. And we think that the dialogue and the conversations that are taking place in Copenhagen at MAD are so relevant and timely that they need to be happening in the United States. And so our second year of Roots will be October 19th and 20th with an amazing lineup of speakers. And I hope to see you there.
It's a date.
All right, you got it.
Bye, Farmer Lee Jones.
Goodbye.
You heard it here first. You can learn more about the Roots Gathering at the Chef's Garden at www.chefs-garden.com/roots2014. So, Mr. Popular here in Copenhagen is community fixture Yukiyasu Kaneko, sommelier at Noma, who comes to Denmark from Japan. Seriously, if you ask anybody, everybody knows him. And appropriately, I first found him drinking in the basement wine cellar of Vedstranden, our favorite wine bar in town. Let's hear from Yuki.
That's it.
What's been the most fun discovery during your time here in both Copenhagen, at Noma, and at MAD, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm walking Noma, and I'm going to see... I've met so many people,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, walking everywhere all over the world, in restaurant, wine industry, and... Yeah, just I had so much fun to see lots of people. And,
Favorite discovery?
Yeah.
What's been surprising?
Surprising?
Yeah.
Ah, it's Copenhagen, the amazing city for food and wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, like, okay, so Copenhagen is the quality of life is so high. People want more, you know, coffee, food and wine, or like even like organic vegetable. It's really high quality. So this, if you use, you know, if you are here, like, you can easy to get anything. Yeah, like that's a
favorite spot I can find you at when you're off work.
Ten Vedstranden, which is one of the best wine bar, I think. Yeah, that's an easy, good atmosphere, nice people. That's it.
And what is your dream job? Like, if you weren't a sommelier, what would be your other dream job?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I used to work winery a lot, and I'm gonna make wine one day. But also, I wanna have my restaurant too, so I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is cooking to you?
What is cooking?
What is cooking to you?
It's a difficult question, huh? I'm still thinking, but cooking, it's food, you know, creating food. And for me, like, it's more, I don't know, more like a dinner table to, I'm going to see me, lots of people to meet. Yeah, that's it. I don't know. Just having fun. I'm just easy life, having fun. And yeah.
That makes sense, because I think if there was a prom king of Copenhagen and MAD, it would be you, Yuki. You're infamous. Thank you so much.
No worries.
What is cooking to you? Share with us. Tweet at me, at Leitihsu, that's L-E-I-T-I-H-S-U, at Heritage_Radio, hashtag WOMSHOW, W-O-M-S-H-O-W, short for Word of Mouth Show, hashtag MAD4, and at The Mad Feed to stay in touch with the crew. Next, I found a quiet moment under the tent with the most in-demand bellow at the conference. Organizer Ali Kershat Altınsoy, who is like hashtag dream job epitomized, he found that sometimes the only way you get to do your dream job is to just simply quit your day job.
She got it right.
Hey, Ali.
Hello, how do you do?
Good. And what's your role here?
Well, we don't really have kind of specific job titles at MAD, but it's just me, Mark, and Gabe, the three of us, trying to organize, and Ariel now too, trying to organize this two-day symposium devoted to food and food culture and all good things edible, I suppose.
Absolutely. And how, it's now in its fourth year, hashtag MAD4, check it out. What's changed?
I mean, hopefully it's just it's not bigger, but it's just better than last year. And I mean, we're just trying to make something really interesting, really fun, and really cool, and really rewarding for everyone here. And you know, we have people flying in from all around the world, so we want to, you know, make something that's as interactive, as immersive, and as intimate as possible.
What did you do before you did this?
Investment banking.
Amazing! Wow! High five! Me too.
High five!
This is what I started out as. Didn't know that about you. Why is it called MAD?
Well, it's kind of fun, and it's also a bit of a double entendre because in Danish, mad or mel means food, and in English,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you can say madness, all the
let
time.
The madness begin.
Has this year's theme? What is cooking?
Yeah.
What's cooking? What is cooking?
Exactly.
So many different ways to think
That's
about it.
I mean, it's what is cooking in terms of, you know, food and actual cooking, but also like what's kind of bubbling under the surface, what's becoming relevant or what's becoming important, what's bubbling, what's cooking.
What is cooking to you?
If you ask me what is cooking, I think the first thing that comes into my mind is like my mom's roast chicken in my house when I'm a kid. That's kind of cooking, or the idea in my head.
Where's your mom from?
Cyprus, she's Turkish.
So, every mom has a roast chicken and a chicken soup.
That's it, yeah, roast chicken, it's the best.
So how did you get together with Renee and the rest of the team to come up with this idea to do MAD in the first place?
Well, I knew Renee as a guest at the restaurant because in some 2 years, I ate there like 20 times.
So 20 times?
Yeah, so I was a bit of a regular and I got to know Renee and his family and everyone at the restaurant quite well. And we kind of got to a similar point where we were bored of the traditional kind of food festival or food event format and we wanted something different. And I basically had to quit my job, move over to Copenhagen, did the first MAD in 2 months. It was just a one-off thing, but it was so amazing.
You quit your investment banking job, wrote the plan for the first MAD.
Yeah, I mean, he asked me about it 6 months ahead and we kind of talked about it and wanted to do it, but then I asked for a sabbatical, they wouldn't give it to me, and I had to quit and move to Copenhagen. And it was a 2 month job, and it went so well. We had no idea what we were doing, you know, but it was just amazing. It was so amazing. We had to do it again, and we had no money, so I had to work for 6 months for free. And then we found some investment, and we did the second MAD, and then the third, and then the fourth. I mean, we're still broke and struggling, but we're trying to do something fun and worthwhile, so I suppose it's worth it.
Goals for next year's MAD?
Something completely different.
Really?
Just smash the format.
And how do you pick your curator every year? Because last year it was David Chang, this year Alex Atala, the chef from
the
Brazil.
Fact that there is a curator, it's not a set feature of MAD, I think, as well. It was just right to do it with Dave and Chris and Peter before, and felt right to do it with Alex this year. I mean, they're part of like the family, like Dave, Lucky Peach, Su Chan, Alex, like, they're just part of the family. So, you know, even though Dave is not a curator this year, it's not like he's not involved and hasn't been helping us and advising us the whole year long. And I think Alex, Renee and David is really interesting kind of trio of guys who, you know, just enjoy working and being around each other. So.
Okay. I just love the way Ali says double entendre. Worry not, investment banking Olympian diners. There is hope for us all. After a speedy commercial break, stay near because we'll hear from this year's curator himself, Alex Atala, chef owner of DOM in Brazil, this Amazonian-ish ingredients and research-driven restaurant is consistently ranked one of the 10 absolute best in the world. Stay close for why he and Rene Redzepi became fast friends a decade ago.
International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back to Word of Mouth with Leyte Su. That's me on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And you're listening to the Mad Symposium Retrospective Edition as we talk to food people we like from all around the world in Copenhagen. We caught Brazilian chef Alex Atala of Dom Restaurant, and he's the co-curator of Mad 4. This is the fourth Mad. And we talked right outside of the iconic red tents as the symposium wound down.
My name is Alex Atala. I have a restaurant in Brazil called Dom, D-O-M. And I'm the co-curator of Mad Food 4.
Oh, congratulations. We're sitting here. It's the end of it. We're waiting for the boat to go to the after party. How do you feel?
Amazing. I mean, I do believe that but it's a bunch of people in the same vibe, sharing the same spirit, and get the opportunity to bring a little bit of my country, and people are accepted. It is unforgettable experience. It is a moment of my life.
How did you meet Rene?
Oh, this is a funny history. That was about between 9 and 10 years ago, when we first entered in the world 50 best restaurants.
Oh!
We was the new entries. So
amazing!
We was the new kids on
the block! In the world, of the world!
But we didn't know each other, and we didn't know really nobody. In that time, Brazilian cuisine, Danish cuisine, it was...
So you guys were the underdog restaurants.
and we became friends just because we was the new guys hiding the corners. And
right.
And we became friends for it, and step by step kind of took this... The Danish cuisine, his nomad for the best restaurant in the world. I'm not did so bad as well, and we became friends, and it was fun because since from the very first moment we have this connection that was different from the generation before, which chefs used to compete a lot, and for our generation, for our chefs friends, the main motivation is sharing, it is get together and try to do something maybe
greater
push
us.
And push the boundaries. I mean,
boundaries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did you come up with this theme, what is cooking?
It is a very simple question and very complex to answer, but it was try to make people understand that cooking is our profession as a chef. It is not only feed people or give pleasure, it is getting fun and try to do something better for ourselves, for people who provide us understand that the food chain, it is a magical circle, and the most social media in the world, it is not the Facebook. It is food.
I love that quote.
Food connect all human beings, and
food is the most social of medium.
And if you change, just feel things in our daily lives as a chef, we can do something. We can really push the boundaries, and this is our main thought.
So did you wake up one morning and you thought, this should be what we should talk about, or
no. Well, it is not easy at all. Find a concept for a new Congress.
Oh yes.
But we have lots of ideas, and yeah, no, we
kept crossing off the ones that didn't make it.
His team, David Chang as well, his part
Very
of the crew,
mm-hmm.
and we thought that what is cooking and could remind us when we are kids and. And Mama saw, said, oh, what is cooking? It smells so good. But what is cooking around? What is bubbling? I mean, cooking is not only cutting, chopping, and baking, steaming. It is pleasure. Food is fun. Food is sexy. Food is...
For you, it is pleasure. For me, it is pleasure as well. So what was your biggest challenge going into this, you personally? You know, what were you most fearful of?
I don't know if it's my biggest fear, but it's my biggest challenge promoting the Brazilian cuisine and promoting this new generation of young chef Brazilian mm-hmm. chefs. I mean, try to we have a nice samba, we have a nice soccer, but we have nice food as
and
well.
And nice women.
Yes, of course.
Apparently, nice men too. I don't know. Well, what would you like people who maybe don't know a whole lot about Brazilian cuisine to know about Brazilian cuisine?
We have this huge biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as a chef, we can defend it and working for the protection. So when we speak about that biodiversity, there's no value. But when you taste, this is a real value. This is maybe can explain why people... Wines are a very good example.
Mm-hmm.
About 20 years ago, we have just few wines, French, Italian, some few wines from around the world. Nowadays we have lots, and people know more than the different wines from different countries. They know as well the different varieties of grapes. Mm-hmm. This is biodiversity as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep feeding the next generations with the same rice, with the same flour, with the same ingredients,
we're gonna die.
Biodiverse can be wasted. Mm. And again, waste is a lovely word, because he was wasting too much food.
Yes.
So this is a challenge for us as well, trying to understand the food chain and spend less food as possible, feed more people as we can.
In a pleasurable way. So what are your hopes for next year's MAD? It's the fifth year, it's a big year. Rene kind of hinted at what, you know, he said the word go, which is a Japanese word for five.
Yeah.
And it's
and
also
go, to and go,
do stuff,
to do something. Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah, yeah, it will be our challenge. It's not talk, but do. Go.
So
MAD food five will be... Again, we are trying to push the boundary.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I'll definitely be there. Thank you
Please
so
come.
Much. And you know what? New York does not have, at least in Manhattan, we don't have, you know, Brazilian food, not the fine dining, not the mommy's Brazilian food. So
yeah, no.
Maybe you'll come to town and do a pop-up.
Maybe one day. But, I love New York. I love being New York. I have nice friends in there. But I still believe that I'll be... cooking in Brazil and enjoying New York like I've been doing. It is. We didn't have the same ingredients, and until Brazil be ready, this is something that we might do, be ready to export our culture through our ingredients in a very healthy, respectful, and environmental way.
Brazilians are passionate people. And then my last question, because I'm actually super curious, what is your dream job? Like, if you weren't so talented as a chef, if you maybe, you know, your tongue isn't as sensitive or your hands aren't as
wow.
skilled, you know? Like, I know that's a hard one, but that's a good one.
Yeah, if I might change my business or my profession for any reason.
Or a second career. No money, no object. That's a really important one.
It is. I would like to work with the oceans and the protection of the oceans. I mean, I really love to fish and to dive too. So maybe my second career could be this.
Ah, yes, as an ocean conservation.
Or near from the water. I love rivers as a fisherman.
Maybe just a fisherman.
Yeah, maybe just a single.
Just a fisherman with one boat. Well, I'll see you at the after party.
I like your proposition.
Yeah. I'm making it very simple, right?
Yeah.
I think Alex Atala just rejected my invite to do a Brazilian pop-up in New York City. Last but absolutely not least, I found somebody all the way from my hometown of Los Angeles, all the way in Copenhagen, and I had to coax this fellow to talk to Heritage Radio. I mean, he doesn't just give away content, you know. Here's an HRN exclusive interview with Ron Finley, gangster gardener, urban food activist, a favorite speaker at Mad 4. I urge you to check out his TED Talk. But first, brace yourself for this. Okay.
I might kiss you in places you don't want to be kissed.
Alrighty. Okay, so anyway, okay, what is your name and role?
I'm Ron Finley. I'm a gangster gardener, provocateur.
That's what I called you in my Instagram post.
Ecolutionary, game-changing, troublemaking gardener.
Okay. Ed, what brings you here?
I'm here in Copenhagen wrecking shit at Mad 14.
Mad 4. Okay, wrecking shit. So what's been your biggest discovery or learning, most delightful, most surprising one in Copenhagen or at this conference?
When you asked me that, the first thing, I'm going to go with the first thing that came to my head.
That's the best choice.
Was this, the dinner we had. We had a lunch dinner at this secret location house, and it was just like the most celebratory, decadent, fun,
lobster filled.
You were there?
No.
Oh,
I just
my
saw
god,
some photos.
Babe. Oh, that it was just the sick.
It looked sexy.
No. That shit was sick and sexy as hell.
It looked,
and,
in your words, nipple harder.
It was so much fun to see all these chefs from around the world. Everybody's working, everybody's chipping in, and everybody's like, oh. And it was like everybody just did something. It wasn't like you do this, you do this. They just jumped in and did it, and it was just beautiful to see that. I mean, and we had a hailstorm.
What?
You know?
Shut up.
Yeah, it was a hailstorm, and then it would rain crazy, and then the sun would shine, and it was, no.
Just
was,
like the kitchen, just
exactly.
Like the garden.
It was so beautiful.
Just like sexy life.
And that's one of my biggest, that's one, when you asked the question, I said the first thing that came to my mind, and that's what it was.
All right. Well, now, speaking of cooking, these chefs of all different generations cooking together, what does cooking mean to you?
What does cooking mean? That sounds like one of those
but that's the theme of
Barbara Walters.
I understand. Question.
If you were a tree.
Well, you know, blame it on Renee cooking, and Alex.
What does cooking mean to me? I mean, it'd be different. What does cooking mean?
But that's the theme of this year's symposium. So don't blame it on me.
What's cooking? No, you said what's cooking. No, they had what's cooking. You said what does cooking mean
to
me?
But you see, it can have 5 different meanings, as with everything else.
Oh, my God. Where'd y'all find her? cooking means to me that you take these organic fresh, fresh, wholesome ingredients, and you make a beautiful meal that you can celebrate life with. You know, and with my case, a lot of it comes out of my garden.
My last question for you is, what would be your dream job if you weren't a gangster gardener? Like, if you somehow didn't have a green thumb and you were...
Well, I mean, I'm a fashion designer by trade. I mean, that's what I do. I've designed clothes for most of my life. I studied tailoring when I was 15 years old. I'm not really a gardener. You know, that just happened because, you know, there was no food, you know, to be had in the neighborhood that I lived in. Mm-hmm. So I use stuff that I learned and techniques that I learned in the first grade. So if I wasn't doing this, I'd still be doing this.
What age did you start gardening?
What age or what year? Was that a trick? Was, no, were you being shifty?
No,
was that,
I'm not being
was
shifty.
That a trick
I'm
question?
Totally straight up.
What age? When? Usually people say when. No, usually people don't say what age.
No, because I really like people's life stories.
You're not getting my life story
all
in 3 minutes.
All right. So what year?
I started. It depends on when you say. I mean, it might have been 10. Let me see. 7, 8, 9, I don't know, 10 or more, 10, 11 years ago, you know, but I've always grown something. I've always had something growing, you know, house plants or something, so, you know.
Thank you, Ron. I'll look you up.
You promise?
In L.A., when I'm next in L.A., thank you for deigning to an interview.
You're welcome.
Nipple hardening, as in to reference the feeling that Ron gets when he's gardening. That one's for you to keep in your back pocket. Hope that you enjoyed this glimpse of the colorful and international and intimate Fourth Mad Symposium. The Chinese have a saying, it's Jing Di Zhuwa, to describe the provincial frog at the bottom of the well. And so, as I shared with and learned from new friends, I became a worldly frog. Rene Redzepi announced that next year's MAD Symposium, MAD 5, will be way different. Enough talk, he says. Next year, it's all about action. Appropriately, the Japanese word for the number 5 is go. Like, let's go. But not really, but sort of. And I hope to see you at next year's global get-together with this crew of double entendre-loving food folks. This was the MAD Retrospective edition of Word of Mouth on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Leiti Su, thanking you for tuning in. And up next week, next Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll welcome Chef John Fraser of Narcisa and Dovetail. Until then, book a flight, eat well, be swell.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.